I come before you embarrassed and humbled on this Monday for Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer. Terrible first week of picks for me. Usually, I mean, this is one of my favorite things of the high school football season, Ray. I'm alongside Ray Brewer. We're usually really competitive. Last year, I think you beat me by 4 games. I think you're already up 4 after the first week. I just was all over the place. Couldn't get it down. Meanwhile, you only missed 1 game. Good first week for you.
Yeah, all I got to say is I am a CH. I am a CHAPERLAL. Boom, boom. What a win for my Cowboys, baby. Down double digits in the fourth quarter. Rally for the victory against Sierra Vista. I don't care if they were playing Sierra Vista's fifth grade team. For Chaparral to rally like they did at home, first week of the season after winning 1 game the year before and being pretty awful the other 2 years before that. Very excited. I was so fired up on Friday night. And then, you know, Sunrise Mountain, what a great story. 4 years, no varsity win. They finally break through. They beat a Western team who, God bless them, it looks like they're going to struggle a lot this year.
Yeah, Prep Sports Now, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Of course, you were excited about Chaparral, but you were out at the Bishop Gorman game. Chaparral, though, you had them +9.5. I know you probably didn't know the score during the game, but if you would have seen that they were down double digits, you're probably just hoping they cover. They come out and win.
I forgot that was our $5 bet.
Yeah.
Wow, so, I'm up $5.
And I talked to some people, ran into some people that they people thought I was a little too high on Sierra Vista. I picked them to the playoffs, right? That they weren't going to be that good. But I felt like there was some real enthusiasm over there. They felt like they had some pieces. So I'm pretty surprised that they gave up this game. It'll be interesting to see. I know they play again this week. It'll be interesting to see if they bounce back or if they're just in for another rough season. Because, and I mean, Chaparral obviously equates into this too. Is Chaparral kind of going to have a turnaround this year, or is this just their one shining moment?
Well, Chaparral didn't quit. And for me, that's what's most important. I sense that you might be saying that Sierra Vista lost the game instead of Chaparral won the game. And that kind of hurts my feelings.
That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to see. Maybe everyone else was right, because I clearly have no idea what I'm doing picking. And I know a couple people pointed out that Sierra Vista is not going to be as strong as I was making them sound. Not that I was making them sound strong, but I thought they were going to compete for a playoff spot. I thought they had a good chance at the four in this Northwest. In the four in this Northwest, I thought for sure could beat a Chaparral team that's
1 win in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying, is maybe I was a little too high on them, or maybe Chaparral's just that good.
Well, Antonio Thomas, 3 touchdowns, big 97-yard kickoff return, take it to the house. Big win for the Cowboys, baby.
How about Bishop Gorman? Another big win in town. They played Our Lady of Good Counsel, who last week on the podcast, I said Gorman's going to win. I look at Our Lady of Counsel a little bit more. It looks like they're just stacked with a few more big-time players than Gorman. So I switch my pick, and right now I'm hating myself for it because I only caught parts of the game. I was actually covering something else for LasVegasSun.com, a handicapping seminar. Well, what do you know, Brewer? The Gorman game is on in the back of the football handicapping seminar, and everyone is watching it. Everyone is impressed with how good Gorman looks. I guess if you had to put a favorite in this game, Our Lady was kind of the favorite. Gorman came out and just your favorite cliche, smacked him in the mouth, were up big. I thought just looked great. I was blown away the little bit I saw. I'm sure, were you the same, or what am I missing here?
Yeah, I was very impressed with Gorman. What struck me very interesting is 6 plays, touchdown, opening drive. They struck early. They made a statement. You know, Solomon to Smith, again, 4 years they've been playing together. A great touchdown pass. But I can't blame you for flipping your pick to Our Lady of Good Counsel. You know, they have 14 players with Division I offers, 3-time defending Maryland State champs, and they had something like a 14- or 15-game winning streak going into the Gorman game. So for Gorman to pull this kind of victory out, that gives them wins in back-to-back seasons over top 10 nationally ranked teams. And for me, that's really, really, really impressive. Solomon, the quarterback, as good as advertised. But defensively, I think is where, you know, Gorman came to play. I know they gave up 14 unanswered to close the game. They kind of had to hang on a little bit, but a lot of players had some lane craps. They were going 2 or 3 deep at some positions, and there was a lot of players out there making tackles and plays. I was looking down at the roster. You know, I know the Gorman roster pretty good. I'm like, God, who is this 42? And I'm trying to figure out who all these kids are. So, you know, every year you get a new team, you got new players contributing, but, you know, Gorman really had to utilize its reserves, and they pulled out the win.
Yeah, who, since I, like I said, I didn't get to watch that closely, I'm interested. Do you remember any of the guys that stood out defensively?
You know, Dalton Baker, is a, I think he started at wide receiver and safety. He's a senior, I think number 11. And, you know, here's a kid, he had a big catch last year against Liberty in the state semifinals. He's a kid that has just worked himself into a player for Gorman. And he was really solid, I think, in the secondary. Lorenzo Fertitta was guarding Our Lady's best weapon. I think the kid's going to Virginia Tech. You know, Fertitta's like 5'8", 5'9". The kid from Good Counsel's like 6'3". And they really threw at Fertitta a few times trying to take advantage of the size, and he shut him down. Frank Fertitta was in the backfield all night. He had a great game. And just a lot of the new bodies for Gorman that didn't contribute. You know, Trajan Allen, 5'7", scored a touchdown on a pass from Solomon. Even though he fumbled twice, he filled in, I think, pretty good once Tarks went out with a leg injury. And, you know, there's three or four guys that didn't have a role last year, and all of them, are undersized, and they contributed to the win against a top 10 opponent.
Yeah, final thoughts on the Gorman game. I'm not taking anything away from Gorman, as I think they were clearly the better team, one of the best teams in the country, in my opinion. But I also think you made a great point last week. I think travel, especially to come out here for high school kids, that's a big, big thing. I think you saw it affect Good Counsel a little, or Our Lady. I guess you can call them Good Counsel,
I think,
too, right?
I'm the only one that called them Our Lady.
Okay, I thought everyone.
You're right. Yeah,
Good everyone Counsel. I was talking about the game at the thing I was at, I was calling them Our Lady. So whatever, Good Counsel, I think that did affect them. And also, nothing's off limits here at Prep Sports Now, right? There were some, we don't endorse this, but there were some illicit offshore websites that had a betting line on this game, and Our Lady was a 3-point favorite.
Ooh.
How about that?
That's what somebody had texted me and asked what I thought the line should be, and I said Our Lady 3, not knowing what that was the line. I set that myself.
Yeah, so Gorman upset Gorman. And
money line.
And, oh, last thing, I'm sorry to keep bringing this up. Some rankings I've seen, Gorman's in the top 25. How, whatever ESPN used, they weren't. They didn't have a ranking next to their name. How is this team not ranked in the top 25?
I don't know, especially because all weekend ESPN's showing high school games, and there's not one team that played on ESPN that I thought Gorman couldn't beat. At their place, at Gorman, in a neutral site, I think Gorman's offense with all those receivers, Jameer Tillman, great hands, very long, Ryan Smith, Nate Starks, you know, the line was not a weakness like we had thought it was. I thought Gorman, any team that was on that TV show this weekend playing on ESPN, I thought Gorman could beat Santa Margarita, Santa Margarita from California went down to Arizona to play Brophy Prep, and Gorman almost played Brophy earlier this year before the game wasn't finalized. But Brophy Prep is supposed to be an Arizona power. It looked like there's three or four Nevada teams that could have beat them.
Well, the major statement from Ray Brewer, but obviously confident in the Gales. They're going to Hawaii this week to play at St. Louis. We'll get to that game here in a little bit and talk about the Gales' chances in Hawaii. I think they're probably going to win that game. But any final thoughts on the rest of this week? I mean, we saw some pretty cool stuff. I know you were on a high that Sunrise Mountain wins their first game 41-0. I was really impressed with Virgin Valley. It was up, I think, 54-6 at halftime. What else stood out to you in week one?
I was going to mention either the Virgin Valley game, that either Clark is very bad or Virgin is much improved, and we should start mentioning them in the conversation with Cheyenne and Moapa Valley for the best team in that classification. Let's go with Cheyenne Thursday night. I told everybody willing to listen, Milo Lewis is the real deal. The kid is a D1 guy. The way he cuts when he gets to the hole and accelerates is elite. Two touchdowns, first 2 minutes of the season. First time he touches the ball, 55 yards to the house. Got a little careless with the ball late in the game. Fumbles kind of ruined it for him, but Cheyenne made a statement. They are the team to beat. They're on top of the hill. You hear me, Truckee? You hear me, Moapa Valley? I think Cheyenne, at least the way they played with Desert Pines, is the team to beat. I was impressed with Virgin Valley. Moapa Valley, Mortensen, after Lewis goes crazy for 300 and some yards against Desert Pines, Connor Mortensen comes back against Pahrump Valley, says, hold on, I'm the best tailback in that league. And lastly, Faith Lutheran down 10-0 against Parker Lutheran of Colorado, which is a quality team in Colorado. They don't give up any points to the rest of the game. They rally for the win. They play great defense down the stretch. Faith Lutheran holding it down as well for Nevada, Case Keith.
Yeah, that Faith Lutheran was a big one, especially I looked over Lutheran, and it seems like they're kind of a powerhouse. I know they're a smaller school, but they win a lot of games every year in Colorado, so I thought that was a big win for Faith Lutheran. I can't tell you, October 12th, I'm already looking forward to Virgin Valley and Moapa Valley. I feel like this is going to be a great
game. The hammer game.
I don't think it was necessarily Clark. I think Virgin Valley just, they have so many guys back. I think Chris Sawyer's over there. I've talked to him a couple times last week. I think he's really injected some new life into this program. He's a fiery guy. I think he has good schemes. I kind of said, you know, was this just a flawless first performance for you? And he basically laughed at me. I was like, no, we did so much wrong. This wasn't flawless. I think that's the kind of leader that you need. And I think Virgin Valley, Moapa Valley, those two rivals, I think they're both going to be forces.
Are they better than Chi-Town now?
I'm interested to see them match up too. I think all three of those, I mean, this is based on 1 week, so obviously we're going to find out a lot more, but I think all three of those teams could beat each other on good days so far, would be my opinion. Obviously, you're much higher on Cheyenne. I can't wait to see Moapa Valley actually plays Clark this week. I know the coaches aren't going to think like this, and they'll probably be upset for me even bringing it up, but I want to see how Moapa Valley does against Clark compared to Virgin Valley. I mean, Virgin Valley's up 54-6 at the half. There's no way Moapa can be that impressive against the Chargers, can they?
You're actually reading my mind. When I was doing the picks, I'm thinking the exact same thing, that this is a statement game for Moapa Valley because Virgin's like matches. See what you could do.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm sure this is exactly what Brent Lewis and the coaches over there at the Pirates don't want them to be thinking about, but it's what I'm going to be thinking about. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
I agree.
All right, we're ready to move on to some picks and break these games down.
It's what everybody's been waiting for.
All right. Well, you actually list the Saturday games first, but I think we should build some suspense and go with them last.
That's
what do you
fine.
Say?
That's all right, fine. All right. Get people there last.
Let's go with a big game first, though, anyway. Palo Verde at Centennial Friday night. No longer a conference game, I guess, but still huge. Two of the top five best teams in town by most polls. I thought you were going to take Centennial here. You kind of surprised me.
I kind of surprised myself. I think Centennial, when it's all said and done, is going to play for the regional title against Gorman, which means we won't get Palo Gorman this year. I think Centennial probably is the better team, but I like Palo Verde to win because of two reasons. One, they've already played, so Centennial and some of the first game mistakes they're going to have to overcome. And two, I think Palo Verde, with their two speedsters, Griggs and Boye, I think are just so much quicker than anybody Centennial has. If Centennial has a weakness, it's the lack of team speed. And I think that if it's a track meet, Palo's going to be able to pull it out. But they're going to have, without a doubt, the best two players on the field. And you know my theory about the best player on the field. With that said, you know, Centennial lost their last play of the game last year to Palo. They've been using this game as a rallying cry all summer to get ready. The game's at Centennial. They also play Arborview and Gorman at home this year. So it wouldn't shock me if Centennial wins. But I just think the speed of Palo Verde is too much for Centennial to overcome.
Let's not forget the first game last year, though. I believe Centennial got blown out the first time they played Palo Verde last year. Came back in the playoffs. They obviously got a ton better as the season went on. Almost beat Palo. Some would say they even outplayed them, but Palo Verde came out on top. I can't get the image of the first game out of my head, though. I feel like Palo was so much better. I know you believe this, too, even though you may not have said it in that spiel right there. I think it's big that Palo Verde's already had a game. You know, they went to the Sullenberger Classic, played well, although they lost. I feel like they're probably going to be a little bit ahead of schedule of where Centennial is right now. So I'm not saying this isn't going to be a good game. I certainly hope it will be, and I think it will be. But there's no way I'm picking against Palo Verde in my first chance of the year. I love Boye and Griggs, too. I'm going to take Palo Verde.
I will, too. And I think I didn't mention, but they play pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always a staple. That was something I was wondering going into the Sullenberger Classic. We didn't have a lot of times to break down the games because we were going team by team that week on the podcast. But they lost a lot of guys on defense. Some of those defensive linemen that, you know, were keys for the last 3 years are gone. So I wanted to see how they played on defense. Well, they met and surpassed my expectations. So I don't think I saw anything from Palo that would lead me to pick against them against Centennial.
All right, we agree.
All right.
Looking for our $5 game of the day. Of the week.
Yeah. Well, we'll have some opportunities. Durango and Bonanza is next, though. Actually, could be a pretty good game. Bonanza last year, we all know, surprised people. Sorry for the technical difficulties there.
That was me.
Yeah,
my fault.
I don't know what Brewer's doing over there. Durango and Bonanza, though. Bonanza, it's at Bonanza. They played pretty well last year at the beginning of the year. They beat Silverado. Do they have a chance here?
Well, JV and Taylor, Doyle at quarterback, the new coach, the kicker row. I mean, they do have players, and I do think that they are better than last year. It's just tough to pick against McQuaigan Williams from Durango. You know, you got two Division I guys. Williams already committed to Utah, and new coach Matt Gerber is going to pound the ball and give these guys an opportunity to do what they do. I will say that Durango doesn't have much in terms of reserves. One injury could definitely impact the game, and they got a lot of kids going both ways, so they could get tired toward the end. I just think with the 1-2 punch of McQuaig and Williams, Williams and McQuaig, I think Durango wins by double digits.
Yeah, I can't pick against Durango here, but I would not be stunned if Bonanza pulled off the upset. I'd say, in fact, I'd be less stunned than last year when they beat Silverado. They got a lot of guys coming back. You know, I'm really high on the Javion kid at running back. I like him, but I don't like him quite enough to pick him over Durango. So I guess we're agreeing 2-for-2. Durango should take this game. Next game, Sunrise Mountain at Sierra Vista. Who do you like?
Well, see, I don't know what to make of Sunrise Mountain. They put it on Western 48-0 last week. I know that Chris, for their first ever win, and they celebrated with Gatorade bath, pitchers, and the whole nine yards. So how is Sunrise Mountain going to handle winning? Sierra Vista is a step up in competition from Western, who, let's be honest, might be the worst team in the state. You know, they had their season cut short last year because they simply ran out of guys, and it doesn't look much better this year with about 30 total kids in the program. So even though it's a win for Sunrise Mountain, it's kind of an asterisk of sorts because I don't know if it was much of competition. I think Sierra Vista gets back on track with the exception of the bad fourth quarter against Shap. Maybe you're right. Maybe they are a decent team. I have them winning 31-15.
I can't disagree with your reasoning that, you know, Sierra Vista's probably better. Sunrise Mountain may have not beaten a great team. Western probably worse than Southern Nevada. But they won their first game. Don't they earn a little bit more respect than losing by 16 to a team that lost to Shap last week? I mean, you have them just – you pretty much giving them no shot here.
Well, there you go, insulting Chaparral again.
Exactly.
I mean, Chaparral, this is like they have like shoulder pads and everything. This is a real team. I actually think they're going to be okay.
Look, what you said about having no idea what to make of it, I don't have any idea what to make of it either. So I'm going to go with the unthinkable and take Sunrise Mountain to beat Sierra Vista here. I think they're a big underdog, but I think crazier things have happened. I think Sierra Vista clearly has some things they need to work on. Sunrise Mountain's still going to be riding high. Maybe it can be a close game going into the fourth quarter, kind of like that Shap-Sierra Vista game, and Sunrise Mountain makes a couple plays. Give me the Miners to go 0-2.
I can't,
2-0.
I can't believe you go from being high in Sierra Vista to picking Sunrise Mountain to beat them.
That's true.
Could we get a line in this game?
It's pretty bad, but I'm already desperate. How about you give me – well, you have them 16. What, will you give me 15?
Get out of here, please.
What are you thinking?
I'd give you 7.
I want 14?
No.
All right, well, I guess we're going to have to go on to the next one, because we're not going to come to an agreement here. You're going to be kicking yourself when Sierra Vista wins 42-7.
I know. My bad.
Well, then we'll realize how bad Western really is. But next game is Desert Oasis at Arborview. You know how I feel about the Aggies. I picked them to win their division this year. But maybe some things have changed in this past week. Maybe Desert Oasis has a shot at an early upset.
Maybe they do. Not quite sure with some personnel changes at Arborview, but I do know that the Aggies are big up front, and I know that they're strong, and I know Desert Oasis isn't as strong, and I give Arborview an easy victory. Still an elite top five team in town.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as Arborview is in this top tier of teams in town. What you have, the Palo Verdes, Bishop Gorman, Liberty, Centennial, I guess, is probably in there this year. And Arborview, I think, is in the first tier. I think Desert Oasis has established themselves pretty well in the second tier, but the second tier still doesn't beat the first tier, in my opinion. I've got Arborview by at least a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, and the thing with Desert Oasis for me is that I think they made that second tier by thriving in a bad league. You know, they beat up on Western and Pahrump and Clark last year. But when they played a team like Centennial at home in the playoffs, they got pushed around.
Right. Well, but I think they do some good things over there. They have a good system.
They do.
They have a good system in place.
But
they've
not ready to
talent.
Get to the next tier, baby.
I agree. Okay. All right. Cheyenne at Cimarron Memorial. We know that the Desert Shields are second pretty much behind only Chaparral to you so far this year because Del Sol hasn't played yet. They'll be knocked down to three. But so how big do you have Cheyenne winning here? Because we all know you think they're going to win.
I actually think it's going to be a close game. Last year, the game was decided at the end, and Cheyenne beating Cimarron gave them the playoff berth. Again, I just think that Cheyenne having that one game under its belt, Cimarron in its first game, I think Cheyenne having the elite player in Lewis gives them the victory.
Upset special. I am going with Cimarron Memorial. Look, Cheyenne's not going to run the table in the regular season. Let's just go ahead and cut that out right now. I know that's what you're thinking. I was impressed with Cheyenne. I didn't get to talk about it, but I watched the Thursday night game. Most impressive thing was their line. I felt like up front they dominated Desert Pines on both sides. But guess what? Cimarron's going to be tough up front too. The game last year went into overtime. Cheyenne won at home, I think 28-20, 28-21, something like that. This year it's at Cimarron Memorial. I fully expect the Spartans to pull out a close game. It's not going to matter. Cheyenne's still going to be a state championship contender. They're probably going to win all but maybe one other game this year. But I'm taking Cimarron.
Okay. I can't.
It's not too ridiculous. You don't think it's too ridiculous?
I don't think it's too ridiculous at all. I think, one, that every player at Cheyenne thinks it's going to win the state title, and they're going to get complacent. I'm firmly convinced of that. You saw it during the Desert Pines game. They're up, 16-0 because they don't have a kicker, and they go for two every time, and the next thing you know, they're fumbling the ball and they're dysfunctional. So I think that they could definitely get bit in this one just because they're too confident.
Legacy at Hurricane. I kind of feel like Hurricane, what I said with Snow Canyon last week. They're one of these Utah teams. It seems like every year, or at least every couple of years, they drop in and play a Vegas team that they usually have success against. I like Legacy this year. Randy Ricks looks like a standout, a Sun standout to be exact. Hashtag Sun standout. But I'm going Hurricane here. Tough trip for Legacy.
Tough trip. Hurricane's also played two games already. Going from Legacy to Utah is not as bad as coming from like Henderson to Utah because Legacy's right there virtually on the border, right? But I think the fact that Hurricane is the Utah power, Hurricane's already played two games, and it is a little bit of a hike for Legacy. I give Hurricane a comfortable win.
We're in agreement there. Let's go on to Foothill at Canyon Springs. You know, we know you like Canyon Springs to win their division this year. We both like Foothill to make the playoffs. So this certainly looks like one of the better games of week two.
One of the better games. Foothill has to replace several starters. They return four on offense and two on defense or vice versa. We know Doc Sater could throw the rock. We know Tyler Morse could catch it. He's going to San Diego State after all. I just think that Canyon Springs is going to make a statement that they're one of the top five teams in town this week. DJ Pumphrey, from what I've heard in scrimmages, has absolutely dominated people. They've got a quarterback this year who could finally throw the ball. I think up on defense with Rayshon Henderson, Tobias Carson, that Canyon Springs is elite and legit. Last year, Foothill, you were at the game, destroyed Canyon. Hopefully Canyon's prepared and ready to go. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I think 11 versus 11, Canyon's the more talented team with the exception of the Morris kid at the quarterback position. I think Canyon is going to be able to push Foothill around up front, and I think Canyon can win the game only if they come prepared.
No, they're not pushing Foothill around up
front.
They
are pushing Foothill around. Flight school landed, baby.
I will be there again this week, and I will tell you if they push them around up front, but I will tell you there's zero chance. Look, I kind of want to take Canyon Springs in this game. I feel like every time they play one of these, you know, traditional Southeast Henderson teams, you kind of talk me into almost taking them. But let's look back how long I've been here since 2009. They've played eight teams from Henderson, this traditional Southeast division. They've gone 2-6, and most of them they lose big. I'm not going to say just because they're going to be better this year, they're going to beat Foothill. I think Foothill is going to win pretty comfortably here. I think it's going to be at least 10 points, and I really think that we both feel pretty passionate about this game, so I think this should be our $5 bet of the week. What do you say the line is?
Well, I will tell you this, that Doc Stater, Was able to have a lot of success last year. 2,800 yards.
That's another thing. I love Drew Dockstader.
Love him.
How have we not talked about him more?
A legit Division I quarterback. But Canyon's got DBs, baby. They're going to be able to guard you.
We'll see.
Well,
they're going to be able to cover Tyler Morris. I mean, there's another D1
kid. I promise you next week you're going to come in here and you're going to say, Ray, you were right. Canyon is a lot better than I gave you credit for.
Look, I'm high on Canyon. Last year I picked him to win the division. You laughed at me, but
got lucky and they won the division. Let's not go too crazy there.
They didn't get lucky. They were the best team. What kind of points are you giving me here? What are we doing?
Well, let's go pick them. It's a pick 'em game.
All right, pick them. I'll take Foothill.
I'll take Canyon.
All right, yep. Trying to get even. I'm pretty confident I will. Everyone over at Flight School, which I just learned, I have no idea what that means. But
Falcons flying, I don't know.
Yeah. So
hopefully it's nothing X-rated.
Yeah, well, shout out to Mark Harris. He's our boy on Twitter who's been hitting us up and taught me about this Flight School.
Yeah, Foothill is upset with me because of last year me picking Del Sol.
I love Foothill.
Anybody who hates me, you love. You love Foothill. You love Liberty.
All right, let's go Foothill. We've spent enough time on this game. Doc Stater's going to throw for 300-plus. Foothill's going to win. So let's go to the next game. Chaparral at Spring Valley. I like Sunrise Mountain to go 2-0, which is probably more ridiculous than you liking to go Chaparral 2-0, but I do find it somewhat ridiculous.
Yeah, this is the Thursday night game, so we'll get this out of the way early. Listen, Chap's got a lot of momentum. Antonio Thomas, the real deal. Curious as I am with Sunrise Mountain to see how Chaparral is going to handle the success. But I will tell you this, Spring Valley, to me, might be one of the teams that could experience a struggle this year. And I think Chap gets them. I think they're 2-0.
I've got Spring Valley for sure. This game's Thursday night. Why do you have it at the very bottom of our picks?
I don't know. No, because I did the – if you could see, I did the Division I, and then we go into the Division II.
Okay.
So it's the first game on the Division II schedule.
All right. Well, that answers my question. I've got Spring Valley here. I think that they're more talented than Chaparral. We don't need to hear Brewer's regular rant about walking around at the Spring Valley campus and seeing so many athletic kids.
Some of those
kids are going to be on the football team, and they're going to be Chaparral.
Well, you give no respect to the orange and black. It's your fault.
Clark at Moapa Valley. God, what a ridiculous schedule for Clark. They just drive out to Virgin Valley. Get beat by, down 54-6.5. Now they have to drive out to Moapa Valley, to Overton, where I think they're going to lose just as badly. Not very fair way to open the season. I think I gave it away. I like Moapa Valley. The three rep brothers, twins, cousins, whatever they are, I think they're going to have a big day. I like Moapa Valley.
I do too. Running clock in this game. Poor Clark, tough roadies to open the year.
All right. Faith Lutheran at Boulder City. Boulder City starts the year 1-0, got revenge for that game last year by beating Mojave. You think that the Eagles could go 2-0 too?
I really do. I think on paper, pretty evenly matched between Faith and Boulder City. A great game, former 3A rivals back in the same league. I just think considering Faith played on Saturday, they had to travel back, maybe a little jet lag from the trip. I think that kind of spins a pretty even game in the favor of the Eagles of Boulder City.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought coming in here I was going to take Boulder City, or maybe last week I thought I would take Boulder City in this game. I think they have really good defense that we're kind of overlooking. Mojave was lucky to score as many points as they did. But Faith Lutheran, I am so impressed with that they went to Colorado and win. I feel like that they went to Colorado and won, excuse me. I feel like because they did that, they deserve to get picked. I think they deserve to be the favorite in this game. I'm going Faith Lutheran over Boulder City, switching my pick around, which is I've been 0-2 doing so far this year. So might make it 0-3 if the Eagles prove me wrong.
You got it, brother.
All right, Pahrump Valley at Virgin Valley. Pahrump Valley, I think we both kind of wanted to see if there's any signs of improvement. Obviously not really in this first game against Moapa Valley.
They scored, at least.
They scored, but they kind of got blown out. Their quarterback got hurt, from what I understand. I think it's going to be another tough one with Virgin Valley. How about this? This is another game where we can see how Virgin Valley matches up with Moapa Valley and just start building the suspense towards October 12th. Will Virgin Valley beat Pahrump Valley worse than Moapa Valley did? Valley, Valley, Valley.
Who knows? The problem is that you got to pull – I mean, you pull your starters after a little bit, so that you can't really factor that into the equation.
I am going to hype this up for all it's worth. I'm going to overplay it all year.
I'm sure you will. Virgin Valley wins big.
All right. Desert Pines at Mojave. Desert Pines, I thought looked pretty good in the first game. Eric Wilkes, like I said,
got injured.
When did he get injured?
Very early.
Very early?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when I felt like how many carries did he have?
I'm not even sure. Very little.
Okay. Well, I thought he had at least one pretty good run despite having no one block for him. There are guys in the backfield. He got away from a couple of them. Looked impressive to me. I like Desert Pines to win this game big. You only have them winning a pretty close game.
I like Desert Pines to win as well. Very curious about Mojave. I thought they had a little more talent than it turns out they do. But Desert Pines is Desert Pines, and I think they win easily.
Well, you only have them by 11. I'll say they win more by more than that. We'll be back next week.
We got the Liberty game. And Gorman.
I say that we're gonna come back, and then I forget to come back. That was pretty bad.
No, we got to talk about the Liberty Patriots.
All right, go for it.
Okay, I went to Liberty last week, and I put a comment out on Twitter at RayBrewer21 that it was the best non-Gorman team I've seen in 10 years. I watched them do some offensive practice, kind of cool, really throwing the ball with a lot of zip. Liberty very organized, and I was extremely, extremely impressed. I think Liberty is the clear shot number two team in town. I really think they're going to line up with Gorman when they meet in the state championship game and give them a fight for their money. With that said, they open the season at Crespi, California. And I like the trend that we're seeing nationally where teams are traveling out of state to play each other in kind of these showcase games. I think it's great for the kids. It's great for Nevada to try to get some publicity. I will tell you, when I went to Arizona to cover the Sullenberger Classic, I saw Crespi at the airport. They were going to play a team from Tucson. I believe they were up like 30-something to single digits in the game, but then they had to hold on for a 38-20 win. 35-20 win. And then last week, Crespi won big. Let me tell you, Case, all these kids for Crespi passed the eye test. Big, athletic looking, and I just don't think Liberty is going to handle the travel and the opponent on the field. I think Crespi gets a win 29-22. I'm rooting for Liberty. I think they are the clear-cut number two team in town. They looked awesome in practice, but this Crespi team, to me, at least seeing them at the airport, and I got a picture on my cell phone.
You're taking pictures of high school kids in the airport now. Have we come to?
I had him posed, though. Here, let me pull it up for you.
Oh, you did. You went and introduced yourself? And,
I said, you guys are playing our team.
That's not as bad. I thought you, like, walked by him and had him.
No, but look how big they are.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I really want to pick Liberty here. You know how much I like the Patriots and what they're doing over there. It's just tough for me, though. I feel like the travel plays into it. When was the last time we saw Liberty have a road trip that was this big? Was it the Reno game 2 years ago?
State semis.
Yeah, they obviously should have won that game. They were a better team. They lost that game. The other thing about Liberty is, what about the beginning of the year last year? They had just a terrible performance against Arborview. I felt like it took them a while to get into their rhythm last year. Maybe that's going to be different this year. They certainly have a lot of experience, a lot of guys back. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Liberty's going to have an opportunity to win. But if you add up all the factors together, especially these pictures you're showing me here right now that no one else, of course, can see since we're an audio podcast, not a video podcast, I'm going to go with Crespi. I hate that I have to do it, but I can't let you get any more wins up on me on the picks. And I think that Crespi, the Celts, is it Celts or Celts?
No clue.
I think they should be the favorite here.
Without a doubt, we're both going for against Liberty. We're rooting for you, but the facts are in the pudding. Crespi is big and athletic and tough to travel.
That's true. All right, we'll get to Hawaii, where one of my Twitter followers actually told me when UFC 151 got canceled, because that's the other thing I covered, that I should get the Sun to send me out to Hawaii for this Bishop Gorman game. Unfortunately, that didn't come together. But maybe I'll DVR it, watch it on TV or something. Bishop Gorman at St. Louis in Hawaii. I think Gorman deserves to be a pretty big favorite here, and I think that they're going to win pretty comfortably.
They will. St. Louis is a Hawaiian power, and they used to be a perennial national top 25 team, but they lost their opener last week, and they of all of Gorman's four national opponents, this is the easiest of the four. You do worry about travel. Going to the island isn't easy. We see it in college football and college basketball all the time, where teams go down to Hawaii and just struggle because it's the time change.
You want to go out to the beach, have a little bit of fun.
It's pretty there. But I think Gorman, they're doing it right. They're getting there a few days early. They're going to be able to get some practices in. They've got the whole trip planned out to the minute. I was with them when they went last year to Reno for the state championship game, and I'd never seen a high school team travel the way they do. Everything to the minute is very organized and structured, and they went out there and they put on a good product. So I don't worry about Gorman traveling as much, and I really think that on paper they're 100 times better. I think Gorman wins this one pretty handily, and it'll be on Fox Sports Regional. Tape delayed, I think, 10:30 our time.
Okay, so it is tape delayed. Good information there. Yeah, look, I mean, if Gorman's overlooking this team, it could be tough. I mean, because they've heard everyone say this is their easiest national game. All the factors you just said, there's some things playing in St. Louis's favor, but, I mean, like you said, Gorman runs such a professional program. I think Tony Sanchez is going to have them in their right mind. I think you'd be crazy to pick against the Gales here. I think they're going to win by a few touchdowns, too.
They will. If they have to squeak it out, though, I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Am I allowed to end the podcast
now?
Go ahead. Or is that just...
Why don't you mention our sponsor one more
time? Okay. Brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. We want you to get to your next game safe in one piece. We want you to get on with your life in one piece. Eyes on the road. Hands on the wheel. Don't text and drive. Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week.